In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, let us quieten in this morning our hearts and minds in opening prayer and thanksgiving. Holy and righteous God, our dear Heavenly Father, as we have gathered here this morning around Your holy and precious Word, dear Father, we come here wishing to thank You for the many, many blessings that You have bestowed upon us. We thank You for our homes and our families, our daily work that You have provided for us, our dear escorts in living faith, in all that we have in this life, this temporal life we live. Dear Father, we understand that all these gifts and blessings come from Your precious hand. But above all, dear Father, we wish to thank You for Your dear Son, whom You saw it good to send down from heaven to save the sinner. Dear Father, we humbly ask that You would continue to lead and guide us, continue to instill in us the preciousness of this gift of faith that You have given unto us. And dear Father, we wish to ask that You would lead and guide those who are on the outside of this precious kingdom, effect in their heart and conscience the need to find a Savior, Your dear Son, so that they too could enjoy this peace of conscience as Your dear children experience. Dear Father, remember those who are struggling with difficulties and trials of this life. Comfort and uplift them. Give unto them understanding and wisdom to accept Your will. And to understand that Your will is always best. Dear Father, remember those who are in the service of this country, maybe in lonely posts of watching. Comfort and uplift them also, dear Father. And we enclose all our thoughts and unsaid prayers in that perfect prayer that Your Son has taught us. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Before beginning, dear brother and sister, I wish to bring you greetings from the children of God there in Outlook Dunblane area, where we were so recently for that funeral of my dear nephew. And also, where I was last week in Minneapolis, the children of God there also wished that their greetings would be brought to you here. Seems as of late there's been so many reminders from our dear Heavenly Father calling so many home in the past months. Oftentimes we, with our carnal portion, cannot even begin to understand. But yet, we can rejoice in spirit that those ones that were called left a good testimony. They were travel ready. Thought for this morning's text. If God so wills, we will read from the Gospel according to Luke in its 14th chapter, verses 1 through 6. These words are the Gospel text that is set aside for this Sunday. The theme for this Sunday being the Christian's freedom. And we read these words with that prayer that God would open His Word as He sees good at this time. The words are in Jesus' name. And it came to pass, as he went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day, that they watched him. And behold, there was a certain man before him which had the dropsy. And Jesus answering spake unto the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? And they held their peace. And he took him and healed him and let him go. And answered them, saying, Which of you shall have an ass or an ox fallen into a pit and will not straightway pull him out on the Sabbath day? And they could not answer him again to these things. Amen. When we think about the theme for this Sunday, the Christian's freedom, we could, our minds could go many ways with this. Dear brother and sister, we are certainly dwelling in a kingdom where it is so good to dwell in, where we feel that freedom from the bondage of sin, by and through the suffering and death of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We have been given such a precious gift, dear brother and sister. This gift of faith. This gift of the Lord and Savior, Jesus. This text that we read this morning speaks to us of, there were Pharisees there, and there was a man that had a disease of dropsy, and there was also our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, there present. When this text begins, it says that, "And it came to pass as he went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day, that they watched him." The Pharisees, we all know, were a very self-righteous people. And they knew the law very well, the law of God. But they, you could say, were a very bright-eyed people too. That they were looking always for faults in people to try to point fingers at them when they did something wrong. They spent a lot of their time trying to entrap our Lord and Savior Jesus and to see and tempt Him as to what He would do. And even in this case here of this red text that we have before us, this was the case. For it says that they watched Him. Oh yes, they watched Him, trying to see what He would do wrong, or try to tempt Him into doing something wrong. There was a law at that time on the Sabbath day. And obviously that not to do any work. Dear brother and sister, we also remember the commandment, the commandments of God, the law of Moses, when He wrote those commandments. I believe it is the third commandment, where it says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." And we are instructed through Scriptures, dear brother and sister, and through the Spirit leading and guiding, even in this, how we ought to remember the Sabbath day, and we ought to keep it holy.
There are those things that we know in God's kingdom that we don't want to do on the Sabbath day. We know, of course, there are those things that we have to do. Maybe some are farmers. We need to cook in the kitchen. Of course, we understand that these things are needful and we ought to do them. But we also want to remember the theme of this Sunday, the Christian's freedom. That we don't want to use this freedom and go out and do whatever we want to do, whether it be good or bad. There are those things where we even tend to forget. And we oftentimes don't even think about them. For instance, we all know and understand that even going shopping on Sunday, it would be good not to shop on Sunday. And our carnal mind right away wants to go that, well, what's the big deal? Going shopping on Sunday or... But when we think about it a little bit further, dear brother and sister, and we keep this commandment of remembering the Sabbath day to keep it holy, what do we find there in the shopping centers? Every store we walk into, the worldly music is sounding very loudly. I just think it's a good reminder for us that, of course, there's things that we need to run and get from the store. But let us not make this a habit, dear brother and sister. But the Sabbath day God has set aside for us to gather around His precious Word. A family day. And it is good that He has done this. For the busyness of life, it seems like if we wanted to, we could be busy every day. And we can even thank God for this Sabbath day that He has provided, where we can lay down the cares of this world and gather around His precious Word. Enjoy that time with our families and go and visit brothers and sisters in living faith. This portion of God's Word here, it was also on the time, it was on the Sabbath day. And it says, "And behold, there was a certain man before him which had the dropsy." Dropsy was a disease. It could have been of the affecting the heart or the liver, kidneys, I think even into the legs, but it was a disease of where the fluid in the body retained and affected those organs. But this portion of Scripture also has a meaning, a spiritual meaning. And when we think about this illness of dropsy, it also, we could say, was a man that was beset by sin. So here we see how Jesus did not leave this man be, even on the Sabbath. And oh, how important this is, isn't it, dear brother and sister? That we gather around in this precious Word on the Sabbath day. And whenever that moment arises. But this portion says that, "And behold, there was a certain man before him which had the dropsy. And Jesus answering spake unto the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day?" He knew, the Lord and Savior Jesus knew the lawyers and Pharisees' hearts. And even when they didn't give Jesus an answer, Jesus knew what they were thinking. Because it wasn't lawful to heal on the Sabbath day. But dear brother and sister, Jesus fulfilled that law to the perfect letter. And oh, how we can thank God this morning that we are not under the law, but we are under grace. The epistle text for this Sunday speaks unto us about this Christian freedom. And what the fruit of the Spirit is. One of the epistle texts was in Galatians, and it's chapter 5, verse 22 through 26. But even before these verses, it also speaks closely to this freedom that a believer has. In that we don't, we could say, abuse this freedom. It says, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." So we don't want to use this Christian freedom that we enjoy for an occasion to the flesh. That because we have this grace, that doesn't mean that we go out and abuse this grace. That we can go and do this or that, or with that heart and mind that my sins have been forgiven. Dear brother and sister, this is that carnal portion that we carry. That enemy of souls that is with us. That wants us to think in this way. But the Spirit leads and guides us the opposite way, doesn't it? And this Spirit enters by and through that grace that is given unto us. The epistle text speaks unto us of the fruits of this Spirit. And I think it would be good that we would read this. And it says here, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." Oh, how isn't this the case, dear brother and sister? Against such there is no law. There is no law because Jesus fulfilled the law. The law is for those in unbelief, to bring those ones, to wake them up in their condition of unbelief. But we have been saved by grace. It is impossible for us to fulfill the law. This is what the Pharisees and scribes, what they attempted to do in their own carnal minds. They thought that that's what they were doing, was living this perfect life and that they would attain heaven this way. It's impossible. Even if we walk through this life without actually physically committing these Ten Commandments, we have committed them even by thinking a bad thought. We have broken the commandments. So, dear brother and sister, how is it possible to attain heaven by fulfilling the commandments? It is impossible. The only one that was able to do this was our Lord and Savior Jesus. Imagine if we were just under the law, dear brother and sister. We would all be without hope. Because that fall in the garden, right there in the beginning, we inherited that sin. That we are unable to do good right from the beginning pages of the Bible. But this, it continues here then that, and they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And let us be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Dear brother and sister, it is a battle. It says here before us that the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary, the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that ye would. We carry two portions. We carry the flesh, but we also, dear brother and sister, carry that precious portion that God has gifted unto us, the Spirit. And it is a constant battle against one another. The flesh wants to go out there and do whatever. But the Spirit teaches us and guides us that, no, don't go there. That it'll wound your conscience. How has it been? Have you been able to walk that life without falling into sin? I know for my own part, I have not. When we are weak, we are made strong, as the Bible teaches. Dear brother and sister, there's power in the gospel. When the conscience becomes wounded, hasten to the grace fountain. Put sins away. Oh, how good it feels to again walk with a cleansed and pure conscience. And then that Spirit works within us and it leads us and it warns us and tells us that don't go there. But oh, how oftentimes we do stumble. But dear brother and sister, don't let the enemy of soul speak those lies in your heart that because you have stumbled, it doesn't pay to put sins away. It does pay to put sins away. The Bible speaks about this, that there is power in the gospel. Jesus, when He had that conversation with Peter, when Peter came and asked Him, maybe Peter was getting, his flesh was getting weary when a brother was coming to him and asking for forgiveness. I don't know. But he raised that question to Jesus, that how oft my brother sin against me and I forgive him. Peter thought in his own mind that 7 times in one day would be enough. And when we think about this with our own carnal portion, dear brother and sister, we would think that surely that would be plenty. But what was Jesus' answer, dear brother and sister? Not 7 times, but 70 times 7. Or in other words, as oft as one feels that sorrow over sin, and they are penitent, and they want to hear that gospel, that grace is there for them. Dear brother and sister, when we go to those grace fountains and put sins away, have not you experienced this along with me? How there is a change of heart then when the sins are forgiven. That heart changes in it, and it tells us that I want to do the right thing. That we no longer want to do those things that we were doing. And this is good. This is the effect that the gospel should have in our hearts. That there becomes a change. A change in our heart. And a change to go and do good. It's easy when we have fallen into sin, dear brother and sister, and we don't go and put that sin away. How easy is it to fall into that same sin time and time and time again? There's that battle there between the flesh and the spirit. The spirit is warning us to go and put that sin away. The flesh is telling us that it doesn't matter. You've already fallen into that sin. Go and do it again. Has this been your experience, dear brother and sister? It has been mine. This is why God's Word is an encouraging and instructing Word and speaks to us of the grace of God. Because the grace teaches us to deny ungodliness and all worldly lusts. To live soberly and righteously. Dear brother and sister, why do we want to do this? Because we are on the road to heaven. Our Heavenly Father, as I mentioned earlier, has certainly reminded us as of late, hasn't He? That we don't know when that call will come. We had just so recently a young father taken from our midst. There in Canada, my nephew, taken from our midst, engaged to be married. We had that dear sister up north taken from our midst. Just so recently we had a little baby taken from our midst. Dear brother and sister, these are God's ways of reminding us to be travel ready. Life is fragile. We do not know when that call will come. But dear brother and sister, when we are traveling, putting sins away when they beset, it doesn't matter when that call comes. For then we can lay down our travel staff of faith. It pays to believe, dear brother and sister. It pays to put sins away when they beset. There is great power in the gospel. It frees us from all sin. Dear brother and sister, uplift your heart even now. Maybe you are feeling tired. Maybe sin has beset. Maybe the doubts are very heavy. You can uplift your heart this morning, dear brother and sister, and believe all of your sins and doubts forgiven in Jesus' name and precious blood. This is that same gospel I want, that can I have my sins forgiven. Oh, how it pays to believe, dear brother and sister. That reward that awaits us is so great. And when we get there, dear brother and sister, we won't want to come back here. I can assure you of this. But in the meantime, we have a battle before us. And may that vision of heaven always be ever so close to us that we want to get there. And God will help us get there. Remember to pray for God. Pray to God that He will give us that mind and heart to put sins away when they beset. That is the only thing that can separate us from God, dear brother and sister, is unforgiven sin. It pays to believe. We are on a journey to heaven. A journey that God has gifted us with, this gift of living faith. It is certainly not on our own power and strength, is it, that we are able to believe? And this also we can thank God for, this precious gift. So again, dear brother and sister, we can rejoice that God has called us to be one of His chosen. And even if there are those that maybe are here that do not own this gift of living faith in their heart, or maybe those listening online, you too can believe. All of your sins, even that greatest sin of unbelief, forgiven in Jesus' name and precious blood. You too can own this precious gift of faith in your heart. So, dear brother and sister, it pays to believe. The reward that awaits us is so great. And may we always have this mind that we don't know when that call will come for us personally. Or maybe it'll come when we are all called together. We don't know. But what matters is that we are found believing, our sins forgiven. Believe, sins forgiven, in Jesus' name and precious blood. In Jesus' name and always blessed name. Amen. Let us quieten our heart in closing benediction. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make His face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up His countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.